This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, provider, protector, curer of one and all. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, all his companions. May Allah bless them all and bless every single one of us. Ameen. My brothers and sisters in Islam, many times when we hear the call to prayer and when we know that the time for salah has just entered, we take our time. We actually do not respond immediately. Sometimes we think to ourselves that, okay, perhaps there is a little bit of time. I still have a chance. You know, the time has just set in now. I will go just now. Did you know that that is the first step of the plot of shaitan to get you diverted from salah? When you are almost ready for it, he tells you, just now, don't worry, there is still a bit of time. So that bit of time, before you know it, the time is expired and you think to yourself, oh no, I just missed it. May Allah forgive us. May Allah strengthen us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand the plot of shaitan. Whenever Allah has called us or instructed us to do something, a true believer will not rest until that is done. A true believer will not feel calm or at peace or at ease until he knows that he has tried his best to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most beautiful way. And if we take a look at verse number 38 of Surah At-Tawbah, a narration made mention of in Tafsir Al-Tabari by the Mufassir known as Mujahid rahmatullahi alayh. He says, the battle of Tabuk was a very difficult battle. It was a long journey from Medina Munawwara. At the time when it was very, very hot in the middle of summer, they had just come back from Hunain and Taif and they had struggled quite a bit. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, we need to face the Romans because they have assassinated the ambassador of Islam. And therefore, prepare the army and let's move. Nobody was an exception. Every single person was conscripted to leave Medina Munawwara. The males who were able and capable, they had to go. But sadly, some people found excuses. And other people who may have been good, they delayed a little bit in responding to that call of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, number 38 of Surah At-Tawbah.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله اثاقلتم إلى الأرض.
O you who believe, what is it with you that when you are told to go forth for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you become heavy on the spot that you are upon on earth, which means you're not moving? What is it that when Allah and His Messenger have called you through for something that is in the pleasure of Allah, known as the cause of Allah, whether it is salah, whether it is a good deed, whether it is the call to dress appropriately, whether it is the call to abstain from sin. Remember, when we say sabilillah, it includes more than 100,000 different channels of Islam. It includes your salah, your dress code, your attitude, your truthfulness, your character, your conduct, your zakah, your hajj, your Ramadan, your sawm. All these are known as the path of Allah. Your Quran, your recitation of the Quran, perhaps the publishing, printing of the Quran and Islamic literature, perhaps building the masajid and madaris, doing any good work for the pleasure of Allah is known as sabilillah. It's known as the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although in this particular verse, reference was being made solely to the battle of Tabuk, but obviously the lesson is for us all. Let us not become heavy on the earth. When the time for fajr sets in, don't become heavy on your bed. When the time for a salah comes in, do not become lazy. When a good cause is right, calling towards you, do not delay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us. It's a very, very beautiful lesson we learn from this lovely verse of the Quran. Like I said, although it was revealed for a specific purpose, but it should be helping us to tackle laziness and to be able to answer to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Similarly, that particular battle of Tabuk, a lot of the hypocrites stayed behind. Ibn Abi Hatim makes mention of a narration by Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, the hypocrites who remained behind, when it came to the Battle of Tabuk, they thought that the Muslims were going to lose. You're facing the Romans. You are so small in number. How is it that you're going to win? Not possible. They stayed behind. They had no excuse. And what they were doing, they were looking for news regarding the believers. Whenever they heard good news that the believers have progressed and they've gone forth and they've done this and that, it used to hurt them. It used to hurt them. And whenever they heard that, oh, now they're struggling with the heat and they're struggling with this and that, they used to become happy. And they used to say, just as well we stayed behind in Medina. May Allah forgive us. Before I read the verse for you, let me tell you, what you learn from this is, true believers should be happy at the happiness of one another. And they should be saddened at the sorrow of another. Someone has passed away. May Allah grant them Jannah. It is important for us to share that loss. Because we say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we all belong to Allah. We will all return to Allah. My brother, I sympathize with you. May Allah grant the deceased paradise and so on. We need to feel this loss. When someone suffers a loss and we feel happy, we cannot call ourselves true believers. لا تظهر الشماتة لأخيك فيرحمه الله ويبتليك. One of the narrations, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is said to have said that do not become happy at this, at the loss of your brother. Perhaps Allah might have mercy on him and test you with the same, if not worse. Look at the beautiful teachings of Islam. Become happy for one another. And when you see sadness, it should make you sad. The minimum is you feel hurt in your heart. Look at what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Burma. Look at what's happening to our brothers and sisters across the globe, whether it is Syria or Palestine, Afghanistan, Pakistan. The list is absolutely endless. Every day we are adding a new area. Have you realized that? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So verse number 50 of Surah At-Tawbah was revealed. إِن تُصِبْكَ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ. Whenever good comes in your direction, it hurts them. Who? The hypocrites. They were being exposed. وَإِن تُصِبْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ يَقُولُوا قَدْ أَخَذْنَا أَمْرَنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَيَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ فَرِحُونَ. Whenever evil befalls you, they become happy. And do you know what? They say, just as well, we have gathered our order in advance, which means we knew about this, so we stayed in Medina Munawwara. We did not join them in the first place. They go back while they are happy. May Allah grant us a lesson from this particular verse. Also, what's important, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you enter the masjid, sometimes you see people who might not be coming often to the house of Allah, but sometimes Allah has drawn them here, brought them for some reason. Maybe Allah created a problem in their lives. They've now found their road to the masjid, or perhaps they might have just got a softening of the heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they come in. And you find an uncle or anyone else who is now worshipping Allah. They are standing in salah. Perhaps they are crying. Perhaps they are doing something in their own little way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never make a mockery of them. Never joke about them. Never laugh. Never pass bad comments. I remember once, many years ago when I was young, there was someone who walked into the masjid for Salatul Fajr. And news got out that those who were regular for Salatul Fajr, they actually passed a comment saying, look who lost his way today. May Allah forgive us. These type of statements only belong to hypocrites. Everyone else would become happy to say, this is the house of Allah. I've said it twice or thrice this month. This house does not belong to you, nor does it belong to me. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must make people comfortable here. We must make people feel like they want to attend. They must be happy. They are the guests of Allah. They must feel so good when they come in here. They feel the ambience. Even if a non-Muslim wants to come in and learn a thing or two about Islam, he must feel the spirituality of the place. Subhanallah. This is Islam. This is the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, treated the people. Why is it that we have differed? So let's take a look at the verse number 80, number 58 of Surah At-Tawbah. Narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, as well as Sunan al-Nasa'i, Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. He makes mention of, in fact, the verse I'm speaking about is a different verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of an individual who sacrificed what he had in order to come forth to give it for the Battle of Tabuk. When the charities were being collected, it's a hadith muttafaq alayhi reported by Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and it is reported that a man known as Abu Aqil radiallahu anhu, When the people were coming with charities, you know, Abdurrahman ibn Awf came with a lot in terms of charity, and someone else came with so much in terms of charity. And Abu Aqil had nothing to give. And he wanted to contribute. So what did he do? He worked whole night. And guess what? He got two measurements of dates. Half of it he came and he presented it as a charity. He says, "Oh Messenger, these are some dates that I have found. Now compare it to the thousands of coins and a lot of wealth that the others have been giving. It's a small little token amount, isn't it?" He gave it, he put it forth. And so what happened is, the hypocrites started commenting. Like I said moments ago, don't ever belittle people's small acts of worship. No. Someone has just started wearing a scarf and you laugh at them. Someone has just tried to obey Allah's instruction and you start laughing. Look at this person, it's Ramadan. Now look at them, they're looking like nuns. We've heard these comments. May Allah forgive us. So the hypocrites were sitting around. They said, "Look, this person, Allah doesn't need the small little measurement of this guy. What is he thinking he's going to achieve? He's giving a small amount of dates here, thinking that that charity is really going to help Allah." May Allah forgive us. Like I said, this narration is made mention of Muttafaq alayhi Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. This companion's name was Abu Aqil radiallahu anhu. He either came with half a measurement or he came with half of what he had earned working through the whole night. Now if you pause for a moment and you think, what is he giving? He's giving away 50% of his belongings. Percentage wise, he's given more than a lot. Today if you were to give 1,000 rands, that might be 0.1% of a lot of people's money. But if someone says, "I'm giving half of what I own," it's a very big deal. Remember this. So percentage wise, it was huge. This comment was really uncalled for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verse number 79 of Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who are making a mockery of, or who criticize, those who come with little charities, voluntary charities, those who have found nothing besides a little bit of their effort that they've made, and now they're coming with a small amount, the ones who are making a mockery of them or who are criticizing them, Allah will make a mockery of them, and for them is a severe punishment. How can you make a mockery of anyone trying to come close to Allah in any way? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us come close to Him, and may He help us support one another. When we notice something good, even if it is miniature steps, let us make sure we encourage people rather than discourage them. Smile at the effort of others. Smile when you see people do good deeds, when you see people sitting with the Quran, even if you've seen them the first time in their lives. So what? Perhaps their entry into paradise might be light years before yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all entry into Jannah. Going back to the initial verse that I'd made mention of, and then I realized that actually it was a different verse altogether. Let's speak about that. There were some people, there was a man known as Abdullah ibn Dhil Khuwaisara. He was known as being from among those who were hypocritical. And what he used to do is, when the Prophet ﷺ used to do something, he used to always comment negatively. One such moment mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, as well as Sunan al-Nasa'i, Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, Hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ once distributed a distribution among his companions of the spoils of war. And this man comes, Abdullah ibn Dhil Khuwaisira, and he says, "I'dil ya Muhammad, astaghfirullah." Do you know what that means? Be just, O Muhammad. Don't be unjust, be just. Distribute it fairly. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face changed, and he became upset, and he became red, and he says, "Waman ya'dil illam a'dil." If I'm not going to be just, who else is there who's going to be just? How can you say be just to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Imagine what an insult, what a blasphemous statement from the mouth of this man. And the reason is, he felt his portion was small. So the problem with some people, when you give them a big portion, they are happy with you. When you give them a small portion, they are sad with you. Some people, when you reach out to them, they're happy. I recall once there was an example that a person gave me. He says, "I used to drive to work every morning. And every morning I used to give a certain brother a lift going to work. And one day, some reason, I didn't see him. You know, on the road, I must have been busy, I must have been occupied, and I passed him. And he spoke so bad about me to other people that this man is so selfish, he's so arrogant. He says, but I missed him once. I've taken him to work 200 times. He didn't think about that. Because I missed him once, he now, everything rotated around the fact that this guy is terrible, he's bad, he left me in the cold, he left me standing out there. He didn't realize, my brothers and sisters, let's not be like this. Let's not be people whom, when we get, we are happy. When we don't get, we are not happy. Let's be people who understand the broader picture. We belong to an ummah. Let's understand. Listen to what Allah says, verse number 58.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَلْمِزُكَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ.
From among them are those who criticize you regarding the charities, regarding the distribution of the charities.
فَإِنْ أُعْطُوا مِنْهَا رَضُوا وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْطَوْا مِنْهَا إِذَا هُمْ يَسْخَطُونَ.
If they are granted from it, they are happy, smiling. When they are not given, they are angry, they become upset. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us reach out to one another in the most beautiful way, my brothers and sisters. Al-Wahidi makes mention of something interesting. But before I go there, you see this man who told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be just. Guess what happened? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu heard the statement. He got up immediately. He took out his sword and he says, let me slice this man, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, he was a hard person. He was very, very powerful. He did not tolerate nonsense, so to speak. So the Messenger, peace be upon him, says, no, leave him. We don't want people saying Muhammad harms, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, harms his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson from the beautiful mercy of this Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was indeed sent to entire mankind and entire creation as a means of mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So Al-Wahidi makes mention of the Mufassir Mujahid and what he has said regarding the hypocrites, that you know what? They used to talk quietly among themselves bad things about the believers and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they used to tell each other, hey, I hope revelation doesn't come and expose us, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will find out what we're talking about even behind closed doors. Why? Because Allah will inform him. So they used to always say, I hope no one finds out. I hope revelation doesn't come and expose us. So that very statement of theirs was exposed. Allah says, verse number 64,
يَحْذَرُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ أَن تُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُورَةٌ تُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ.
The hypocrites are uneasy. They are always worried that verses may be revealed, disclosing what lies in their hearts. Allah says, قُلْ
اِسْتَهْزِئُوا.
Keep on joking and saying what you want.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْرِجٌ مَّا تَحْذَرُونَ.
Allah will take out that which you are worried about. You're worrying about being exposed. Watch, you will be exposed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. And we will see inshallah today and tomorrow how the hypocrites were exposed in so many different ways. What they said and what they did. Let's take a look at one of these statements. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Tabuk, Ibn Abi Hatim in Tafsir al-Tabari makes mention of the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, they were sitting behind watching the believers. And they said, we've never seen a greedier lot than this. Pointing at the believers. They were pretending to be believers, imagine. And they're looking at the rest of the mu'mineen and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, these people, they are greedy. These people are cowardly. And these people are the ones who are ill-intentioned. They have very bad intentions. We've never seen liars, those who utter falsehood, worse than these people. And these statements were all uttered against whom? Against Allah and against the Messenger and against the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses exposing the statement. There was a man known as Auf ibn Malik. He heard these people utter the statement and he told them, would you keep quiet? It is blasphemous what you've uttered. They said, no, we're just joking. And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Auf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, to complain, to say, O Messenger, these people have uttered words. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what they uttered. And these people came running. They came running, telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. We uttered these words, but before they could say but and excuse themselves, the verses were already revealed. Let's listen to them. Verse number 65, Surah At-Tawbah. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ, if you were to ask them, what were you saying?
لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ.
They will tell you, we were only joking, we were only talking, we were not serious, we were only joking and, you know, having fun, playing, نَلْعَبْ. قُلْ, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
Are you joking regarding Allah and His signs and the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
لا تعتذروا.
Do not present your excuses.
قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم.
You have entered the fold of disbelief after you were believers. Astaghfirullah. This verse is so serious. It shows us that if you make a mockery of Allah and His Messenger and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps you lose your faith. Perhaps you can lose your iman. How can I joke about Allah? How can I joke about the Rasul? How can I joke about any one of the prophets of Allah? How can I joke about heaven and hell? How can I joke about the angels? These are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I joke about them? I have no excuse. I'm not allowed to be joking about sacred matters, that which is close to the hearts of billions of people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. So much so that believers are taught that you're not allowed to make a mockery or a joke of what is not sacred to you, but sacred to other people, because as a result, they may in turn make a mockery of Allah and the Messenger and what was sacred to the Muslimin, causing huge problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. And this was a really major incident that occurred at that time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where these people were exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hypocrites who were making mention of bad things regarding Allah and His Messenger. Then they just say, I was just joking. Before I move to the next point, I want to say, it just came to my mind now, sometimes we insult people. And when we are cornered, we say, I was just joking, man. Have you heard that? Wallahi, it's a problem. It's a difficulty. Do not do that. Don't insult. Do not hurt people in the name of joking, with the excuse of just joking. No. Jokes have their limits. You cannot insult someone and then say, I was joking. That's not a Muslim. If you want to joke, it might be a statement of laughter that might, you know, make people laugh a little bit, perhaps a lighter moment, but without insult. No racism in any joke. No insult in any joke. No belittling people in any joke. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. Now I'd like to go into one of the biggest stories that we have. In fact, the biggest story we have this evening. It is a story that some of the scholars say the naming might be weak, which means in the narration there is a name mentioned. But the name, because it's mentioned by so many scholars, I will say it inshallah this evening. But there is discrepancy you need to know as to the correctness of the narration. There was a certain companion, and this is made mention of by Al-Wahidi and Al-Suyuti as well. It's also mentioned in Al-Tabarani as well as Al-Bayhaqi, Al-Hakim, narration of Abu Umamah radiallahu anhu. He says there was a man known as Tha'labah ibn Hatib al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. For us, we have to know him as radiallahu anhu. No matter what, he was a companion. He might have had his weaknesses, like I said. Perhaps maybe even the name that is mentioned here, like some of the scholars have said, it's a weaker narration. Let's take it. Let's learn the lesson. The reason I'm making mention of it, it's a very, very powerful story. And the lesson is for us today. Let's listen to it. So Abu Umama radiallahu anhu says, Ta'labah, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a poor man. And he says, O Messenger, make dua for me that I become rich. You see, people ask for dua. Some people say, make dua that I'm healthy. Make dua for this. Yes, this man says, make dua, I become rich. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, O Ta'labah, it is better for you to have a little and be thankful than to get lost in a lot. Look at the words. You're going to have a lot, you're going to get lost in it. It's better to have a little and be thankful. Then he says, O Tha'labah, when Tha'labah insisted, he says, I am the messenger. If I want, I can have gold and silver as I wish. But I am so happy with this little portion because we are passers-by in this world. How much do you want? You know, when we were young, talk about myself, okay? When we were young, we used to think, okay, you know what? Hey, the first $1,000 I see, you, that's going to be something big. To be honest with you, you get to the figure and for all I care, it means nothing. Allahu Akbar. I'm sure from amongst us, there must be people who say, the first million I clock, I'll retire. Today, a million is a joke by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people. For us, it's still quite serious. MashaAllah. So my brothers and sisters, this man says, oh messenger, I know what you're talking about, but I promise that I will use my money for the cause of Islam. Look at the excuses people make. I promise I will use my money to reach out to people. I will use my money to do good. So the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes one dua. What does he say? He says, Allahumma rzuq tha'labata malan. Oh Allah, grant this man wealth. So the man goes and he went. When he went, he bought a few sheep. And in no time, the sheep multiplied. He became a shepherd of Medina. Guess what? They say literally like worms coming out. Whose sheep? Thalaba. Whose sheep? Thalaba. Whose sheep? Thalaba. Medina was too small. He decided, you know what? I need to go out of Medina. There's a valley there. He purchased a place and he put his sheep there and it multiplied. Multiplied like no man's business. Literally popcorn. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. This man used to read his salah in the masjid. All five were in the masjid. When his business grew, he had to shift out of town. You know, when you got one branch, you open another one. You got one garage, you want another five. You got another five, you want another. And you're never happy. Subhanallah. One branch, you need a bigger one, another one, another. Then you become upset when a small boy opens a little branch next to yours. But you don't realize I've got 10 other branches, man. Let him earn. This is the weakness of a Muslim. We think our sustenance is going to be affected when someone else opens a similar business nearby to ours, not realizing that that in fact is his sustenance and perhaps Allah may bring to you some barakah and blessing you never ever imagined. Don't become upset. It's a big lesson, powerful lesson. So this man, suddenly he was only seen for Dhuhr and Asr Salah. The other Salahs, he wasn't there. And then there came a time, he was so busy with all his wealth that the hadith, this narration of Abu Umama says, he was only seen for Jumu'ah. Look at this. And what's happening? The man is wealthy. His wealth has multiplied. He's become known as one of the wealthiest. So when the Prophet ﷺ did not see much of him, he asks the people, where is Thalaba? And they gave him the breakdown. That you know, this man, he's wealth. And Rasulullah ﷺ knew that he told him to have a little bit is better, thankful, than to get lost in a lot. And he was literally lost. Anyway, some time passed. And then the verses of zakah were revealed. And zakah became compulsory. Where Allah says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. Take from their wealth the charity that will cleanse them. So the Prophet ﷺ gathered a few companions and he sent them to a few areas. Two of them were sent to a certain area near where Tha'labah was, and another man from Banu Sulaym. So when they arrived, they went to Tha'labah and he said, who are you and what do you want? Obviously, big man, it's hard to see him now. You know, when you're young, everyone can meet you and greet you. When you're small and you're a nobody, everyone can talk to you and so on. The minute you become big, you ignore the phone calls, you ignore everything. Nobody can talk to you, no one can reach you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and grant us ease. Yes, it is okay to actually channel all the meetings and so on, but always remain humble. Always understand your beginnings, and you should know Allah can take it away in a split second. Wallahi, we've seen people who've lost absolutely everything in Nepal, in Syria, in Bangladesh, in so many other countries. They've lost it. I'm sure even here in this country, you may have seen people who might have lost absolutely everything and they were multimillionaires 5 minutes before that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, and may He grant us humbleness and humility. So this man says, who are you? What do you want? They said, look, we've come to take charity. The messenger has sent us. What? Charity? So they read the verse. They showed him a little parchment that was written. He said, no. This is like a tax. I don't know of any tax. What tax you people want? He says, you know what? Is it only me you've come to get from? They said, no, we are sent to a few people. There's someone else. Well, you know what? Go to him. Go and see what he wants. And on your way back, come and see me again. I'll see what I can do. Familiar statement, isn't it? I'll see what I can do. You go masjid collection, you want to go to people, and the richest of the lot is the stingiest of the lot. It's always the case. Maybe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had to say that maybe to cover a few decent people, alhamdulillah. But it is really, sometimes the wealthiest of the lot do not know where to spend their money. Wallahi, it's a fact. And I'm taking the liberty to say it because I've witnessed it myself. People who have so much of money, they really do not know what to do with it. When there's a wrong cause, they'll be the first ones without being told. When there is a powerful cause, as much as they are being encouraged to give, they just do not see the light. That's it. That's from Allah. Remember this. It all depends how you earned it. When you earn it correctly with humbleness, humility, there is barakah and blessing with sanity. When you've earned it through clandestine means and you've deceived and cheated and robbed, you will get it with no blessing and insanity. May Allah forgive us. Remember, I've said it quite strictly and I'm not joking. So this man says, you know what? Come back later. Like I said, you go for a powerful collection. You know this is a deadly cause, something really serious. And the person says, yeah, chase him away. Send him out. Go. Common, common. We've heard it. Here it is. It's in the narration of Abu Umama. That's why I told you I want to mention this narration, no matter what the people have said about it. So they went to the man from Banu Sulaym. That man had a little bit of wealth. They read to him the verse. They told him, we've come for charity. He said, come, come. This is my wealth. This is all my stock, livestock. This is the best of it. I want you to take this, which is the best. Take it, give it to the messenger. Tell him, I said, make dua for me for barakah. They said, no, we've been instructed not to take the best. Give us the average wealth. He says, you've been instructed not to take the best, but I want to give it to you from the bottom of my heart. I'm so thankful to Allah. Take the best of it. So they took it, subhanAllah. And on their way back, they stopped by our man, mashallah. And they tell him, he says, what did he give you? They said, look, he gave us his wealth and so on. He says, look, as for me, I'm sorry. You can go back and I'm not giving you anything. You know, I'll think about it. I'll see you later. And he chased them away without anything. And this was the man. He forgot his dua. He forgot his humble beginnings. He forgot that there was a time when he had nil. So when the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the people, he knew, because immediately he said, وَيْحَكَ ثَعْلَبَ يَا وَيْحَ ثَعْلَبَ. He already spoke. When he saw these people come through, he knew that there's something wrong here. ثَعْلَبَ has avoided the whole thing. And he says, oh, danger. That man is in danger. So they asked him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked them and they told him the story. And there were relatives of ثَعْلَبَ who were seated nearby. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses as this story is being narrated. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this verse, number 75 of Surah At-Tawbah.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
There are some from amongst them who make a promise to you that wallahi, if Allah blesses us, we will be charitable and we will be truthful. We will spend in the cause. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ.
Then when Allah gives them from His virtue,
بَخِلُوا بِهِ.
They become stingy with it. They forget.
وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُم مُعْرِضُونَ.
They turn away, turning away from the instruction of Allah. Why? Because now they've become wealthy. They don't even need Allah according to them. Astaghfirullah. So Allah says,
فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ.
Allah has stamped hypocrisy in their hearts until the day they will meet with Allah. This is the punishment. So some of the relatives of ثَعْلَبَ, they sat there, they heard this. They rushed to ثَعْلَبَ, they went to him and said, hey, revelation has come in your regard. And this is what the verses are. You chased these people away without giving them wealth. And now there are Quranic verses read in your regard. So what ثَعْلَبَ did, he quickly took as much as he could. He rushed to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, oh messenger, I've come sallallahu alaihi wasallam with my charity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَنَعَنِي. Allah has prohibited me from taking this from you. Allah prohibited me from taking this from you. He says, no, this and that, whatever excuse. I'm sorry. Do you know what? The time is up, but I want to complete the story. He tried his throughout the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give. He did not accept it. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu took over, and he came to Abu Bakr with wealth, a lot of it. And he says, you know, I was very close to the Prophet. He was very close to me. And you know, this is my charity. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, yes, we know all about it. If he didn't accept it, I'm not accepting it either. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away. The same thing happened at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He came back and he says, I want to give this money. Take what you want. How much you want for whatever you want. Come take it from me. He says, the two who are better than me haven't taken it. I will not take it. The same thing happened at the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu when he came there. This man comes back again and he says, I want to give you the wealth once again. I want to give you. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, I can't take it. And guess what? He passed away during the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Now, as I said, what is more important than the story is the lesson from it. Because some of the muhaddithin have spoken of the weakness of narration. We have to make mention of it. But the points, we would all agree, are solid. They are powerful. We promise Allah things. You know, when someone is sick, we say, oh Allah, I'll never miss a salah again. You become better and your salah is gone. These are the things we need to learn. Never make a promise to Allah and then treat him like he is just by the way. Not at all. That is your Rabb. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and grant us ease. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow. Until then, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.